If you have no discernment, no understanding, somebody, a shepherd wouldn't go up to a farm and know how to separate. It's not his trade. It's not what he was meant to do. So the world can't come and fix your problems. Psychologists cannot help you and talk with you enough to fix things. And I find it no coincidence that you can only get about an hour's time to talk, and we'll have to come back next time for $250 for another hour. Oh, if God put a price tag on all he'd done for us, we could never repay. Oh, somebody help me preach. Oh, if we had to put a price tag on all that God had done, we didn't have a good enough insurance to pay that one back. We wouldn't have enough of a copay to be able to cover that one. Oh, if you just begin to think about all that God has spared you from, then surely you know that discernment is a real thing, that demons are a real thing, that angels are a real thing, that the spiritual things are real and they're ever present about you. Listen, when we read on in a few minutes, you're going to discover that scripture wasn't talking about something that was up in the heavens. It was talking about that the field represents the world. That means that which is heavenly on earth tells me that there are spiritual things on earth. People can deny it all they want, that the anointing of God doesn't exist, but I'm here to tell you, I'm seeing people healed that shouldn't have been healed. I'm seeing people delivered that should not have been delivered. And if you're going to deny the anointing, then you're might as well telling me that I'm not delivered from drugs, so I might as well go back to the streets and be who I was before. But all things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I went from being somebody that couldn't have separated the wheat and the tares to being somebody that knows the difference when the devil comes to destroy. And you might want to pretend that you don't know what you're doing, but if you know Christ, you know the way. To whom much is given. And I'm about to lay something heavy. I hope you're getting this. Us Christians that think we know the way, if we know it so much, why are we not doing it? If we know the way, why are we not executing the way? And here's the truth. We don't. Look over somebody and say, we have no clue. We don't. But I can do all things through whom? That means there's something to be said about that which Christ gives you. Freedom from sin gives a whole lot of clarity. But if people aren't truly free from sin, let me tell you, they can still know Christ and still have things that need to change. Because if you were fully delivered from everything that needed to change in you the moment you got saved, then we wouldn't have a single hypocrite. But let me tell you, we got a whole place full of hypocrites from time to time. People that think that they don't have to pray to be in the presence of God. People that think they don't have to praise Him to enjoy His presence. They just want to come and just say, because I know Him, that's enough. But I'm here to tell you, that won't be enough when it comes to real life situations. When you have a real life trouble, you're going to need to have more than just knowing Him. It's one thing to know Him, but it's another to feel Him. And the way you feel Him is through the Spirit of God. And people that quench that, oh, I used to be that guy. Oh, people would be praising Him, and I'd grab a hold of the seat for dear life. Oh, I couldn't get up. I couldn't do anything. And I remember I used to sing, and I'd begin to feel Him, and tears would start coming down my face. And instead of doing anything, I'd just get quiet and keep playing. And now I realize now that God was trying to take those moments when I finally let my hands off of it enough to not be quenched, to finally pour a little bit more inside of me, that I would be prepared for what is ahead of me. Listen, when you quench the anointing, you're quenching discernment. When you quench the anointing, you quench the wisdom that God wants to give you. When you quench the anointing, you quench every bit of humbleness that you could have ever had. And I'm here to tell you, you will be what you eat. Yeah. Oh, there's people that you cannot please, no matter what you do. And when you can't please them, they're off to somewhere else to go. And they'll go there for a while. And when they find out that, well, the Lord's telling me to change these things here, just like he did over there, let's just use something silly. Maybe God was ministering to you to lay off the pancakes. I wouldn't find it too strange to know that if I went to one place and another and they operated in the anointing, that God would speak to me about the same thing. Because let me tell you, if you're not hearing God, you're not getting close enough. Because until you learn to listen, you can never learn to do. And until we learn to let the Word of God teach us to know the way, we'll never know which way to go. And we'll be just as lost as somebody that calls out on Christ on day one. Let me just give you a little bit of humor here right now in this moment. Every single week, God refines something in my life. Who's willing enough to confess that you've had things change since you've been saved? There has been things that has changed in me over time and over the course of things that I went through. That means that I had to go through it for the moment of separation to be revealed. I don't find a coincidence that it says that I count it all but joy. And then it says that there's nothing worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be what? Revealed. It's something that at the end times it shall be revealed. When you finally get to the end of something, healing and gifts and callings will be revealed and so in your life. And when people come against you, they will answer for it, and it will be seen and present. It said in the scriptures, that which is done in darkness shall be brought to light. Let me read this to you tonight. Trying to perform an action to vindicate your life from an enemy before its time may prove that you uproot in the wrong place and may offend someone without your intention. Trying to prove yourself before the time will only destroy the fruit you would have had if you had just endured instead. Only when we wait for the appointed time can we begin to see what separates a Christian walking by faith and a non-believer acting like they do but with no fruit to bear. Seed, if sown and cared for, will bloom and prove itself. There's nothing that God sows in you that won't be proven. David looked at stones over armor and said, I don't want the armor because it's not been proven. That means that things that you go through in your life will help you to understand how to handle things better ahead of you because it will be things that have been proven. The anointing of God will help you to see those things which have been proven. Do not be alarmed at the presence of tares, because weeds want to thrive most where life is most. It's hard for me to explain to people sometimes that the devil doesn't begin to come full force until you're the most active in Christ. That means you're going to start out to do a good thing, and three other things are going to try to come against it. I'm just here to tell you that you better be ready to know the difference, because I'm here to tell somebody tonight that you've got to understand to know what's good in you, to be able to know what is not of God. You have got to know that which God has given you to use, and those things help you to know what is not of God. There are people that sit in our midst that are still not delivered. There are people in our midst that are coming in and going out, and when we don't achieve a level of anointing that can convict, they feel like it's all right because they get by another week. We'll just do the same thing. Why would we change our behavior? Why would we do anything any differently? But let me tell you, we've got to learn to give people the opportunity to see and feel conviction. But true conviction does not come unless unity is present. Only until the priests were sent in with a sacrifice, and only until the appointed time, when they used the lamb and took it in, did the things that God would have forgiven them for be atoned. Only until the appointed time can something happen. And I want to fix everything for everybody that tells me something as soon as I hear it. When people tell me they're struggling, I don't only want to say I'm sorry, but I want to say that God's going to do it, and he's going to bless you, and he's going to do it abundantly. But God has gave me wisdom over that. You know what I'm saying? And he's helped me to understand that you've got to tell people It's a very real reality that you will be in distress. It's a very real reality you might be depressed. It's a very real reality that you might be oppressed. But here's the truth. You don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay that way. Let's read this other scripture tonight. Is this good for you? Verse 36 in the same chapter. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They got him aside and said, tell us what you're really talking about. Because even they were sort of confused out of what he was trying to say. So he answered them, verse 37, and said unto him, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Say all things. None of that stuff's going to fly when it comes down to the end of days. None of it. And them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth. Say those words tonight. Shine forth. As the Son in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. As I close this up tonight, let me read these things that God put in my spirit to tell you. Jesus is the one whom through his sacrifice at Calvary and his works through us that sows the good seed. The field is the world, and where we are to try to sow good things. Wait a minute, brother. I thought that God was the giver of all things, all good things. Well, he sure is, but he might just use you to sow a seed in a bad place. I've heard of people that were wrongfully convicted and sent to prison and ministered to others that others would be saved. Haven't you? I know we've read of a few of them in here. There's people that were sent that were wrongfully convicted that ministered to others for the glory of God. Prison guards that would have never received the gospel were able to be saved through the ministry of one that was in shackles. So that tells me that you can sow a good seed in a bad place, and God can still bloom. My Lord, I felt that go out tonight. My Lord and my God, the tares are the works of the enemy, and him through others. Somebody say that phrase, through others. You got to understand, it's the seed in them. It's not them, it's the seed in them. And if you're going to win and get victory over them, you have to pray against the tear and not the person. Because when you pray against a person, you get emotionally invested. But when you pray against the works of the enemy, that'll cause your enemies to be at peace with you. Have you ever wondered how they'd be at peace with you? You know what? I bet you forgive them first. Oh, we don't want that. I better put that on the shelf. God wants to redeem everyone, even the one the enemy may have worked through in times past. And you must learn to see the enemy supernaturally and not looking at the person next to you as your enemy. Think of the word sowed in that regard. That which is sowed in them, if nobody prays for them, it will grow, prosper, and they will have to suffer it. But if we can sow something good next to it, to that tear, in due time, when they would have perished, mercy will intervene. I'm here to tell you that I know beyond all doubt I would not be alive today if there hadn't been somebody pray for me and put good seed in the midst of my mess. Had somebody not loved me, I would not be standing here today. Oh, I can't help but get emotional. I'm here to tell you right now that just because they're suffering doesn't mean it's over. Just because they're in the midst of a mess doesn't mean that you still can't give something good to help them along their way. They might be at the end, but you still have something good to give. And if you wonder what we're doing here, it's not to put money in an offering plate. It's not just just to lift up the preacher and say, good job. We're here to sow good things in bad situations. We're here to love the broken, to welcome in the leper, to help the blinded eyes be opened. We're here to see the dead raised, those in bondage delivered, and people that don't know Christ to understand what salvation is, why it came, and how it can help them. And if you've got any other agenda that comes against that, at the appointed time, you will be moved. Felt that. In the end days, God will separate the wheat from the tares, when those who believe and endure shall be called up. And as the tares would be and burn on earth, so shall the unbeliever go to a furnace of fire. If I had never known bad, if I had never known a struggle, I would never be thankful. If I had never felt pain, then I would never know what it feels like to be well. If I had never felt emotionally down, then I would not know what it feels like to feel good. But to him to know that knows to do good, or can I just give you a little different phrasing? To those who know of what God has given them and knows that they should sow it. To them that know how to do it, but do not do it. To them it will be sin. Because you're coming against the redemption plan. Do you know what? I believe with all that's within me, that when I go to heaven, that I'm not only going to be standing in the midst of my family and my friends, but I'm going to be standing in the midst of people that were maybe once my enemy, and that God loved them enough to save them too. And I hope that as long as I'm here, that I'll be able to stand with people that have hurt me and love them. Because if I can't do that, then I don't have the right to say another word. And you don't have the right to tell anybody anything. We're nobody's judge. And you can't pretend that you have the right to look at somebody and say that they are condemned and others are not. It's not your right. But God did give you a right to do something. Oh, I feel his presence. Oh, I just want to praise him. He gave you the right to do something in the midst of the wheat and the tares. He gave you the right to do something good, because if he didn't need you to do something good, you wouldn't even be here to do it. If he didn't have a purpose for your life, you would already be gone and not on this earth. But you have a reason and a purpose to be here, and that's to sow those things that are good for others. Because there's going to be people that I love dearly that may not get to heaven. The unrepentant, friends, we can do all that we can, but if they continue to refuse, they're going to lose. But we will lose if we do not give them the truth. And the truth is lived, it's praised, it's prayed, it's fasted, it sacrifices, it loves its enemy, it blesses its foes. Bless those that despitefully use you. It blesses its foes. The fact that you can even give somebody a second chance with forgiveness shows that you're not doing it your way. What can I tell you tonight that'll stick with you? Oh, look at what you're going through and see the good in it. Find the good in your struggle, because it's those things that you cling to that when you reach the end, it'll be that which goes with you. The scripture says, signs and wonders follow them. I may not have, how many of you remember the kick me papers people would stick on your back? I may not have a kick me sticker or sign on my back, But I hope that when you see me go, that you see God with me. And when we come in and have church and we serve Him, I hope that people see God with us. And I would never want to be anywhere where God could not be first. Because if you're going to give in to compromise, if you're going to say this and that's okay, but this is not okay, if you feel like you have the right to condemn people and shun them, shame on you. You don't have that right. Because let me tell you, you'll get a little bit of bias in you, and you'll let other people buy with what you won't let other people do. I don't have the right. All I can do is love you. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that wonderful? That means that if they come against you, forgive them 70 times 7. Even beyond what the world would say is even comprehensible. I'm here to tell you that when I get up in the morning, listen, there was things that kept me from even getting here Friday. But when I get up in the morning, I'm not going to try to deny that it's there. I'm going to face these fights head on with God with me. And when I go out from here and I hope to see you again, and when I come back, I hope that you see me greater than the former. Because unless you're growing, if you stunt your own growth, you won't be able to bear what you're meant to. Look around and see the things you're dealing with. And this word, I feel like, is for somebody. You may just have to wait a little while to understand what is the right way and the wrong way. But if you'll trust God with these decisions, then He'll show you exactly which way you need to go. He'll teach you about what you need to do. And the bottom line is this. This even applies all the way down to a granular level about when you should get up to clap your hands and when you should get up to operate in the gifts and when that time opens up for you to do those things. God will educate you to know and understand. Because let me tell you, a church is not a place of only wheat. There will be tares in the midst, but that doesn't mean they have to stay there. God wants to redeem everyone. He would not have one to perish. And I will to God that every single one of us, if we have anybody we feel like we cannot forgive, that we be praying about learning how to let go of something. And I will to God that if we come in the presence of our enemy and an opportunity to minister, that we would get past those things and be able to love them in spite of their faults. Because I'm here to tell you that if you knew all that I did in my life, you may not feel like I deserve this platform right now. But it's God in you that sees me in a different way. And just because you may know them and you may know how they failed does not mean you have the right to not give them a chance. I'm only here because somebody gave me another chance. God, I feel it. I'm only here because somebody gave me a chance. I'm not one of those people that got it right the first time or second or third or oh, I can't go on. So, oh man, I failed so much that I believe that they would have changed my middle name to Failure if somebody would have just signed the papers. But it actually doesn't have a good ring to it if you say it out loud. It's not a very good middle name. God is good. And you know what? Even in bad, God is good. So I feel prophetically to tell that to somebody. Look around at your situation. See the good from the bad. Cling to that which is good. The Bible tells us to do that. And pray for the things that are bad. Realize it's not the person, the place, or it's the supernatural things that move it to come against you. And until you're praying against the supernatural, then we're just making noise flesh to flesh. And I've been in that place. Have you ever talked to somebody that you thought you were really getting to and all of a sudden their flesh turned on you? And they'd say something like, well, I believe we're done here. Oh, I didn't know. I guess we are. I've had people come against me. But just because they reject you once doesn't mean that you can't keep trying. You can win somebody far greater with love than any act of hate. That's where terrorism gets it wrong. They think they can win you by fear and destruction. But love is far more powerful. And that's why the work of Christ was the greatest work done of all. because it was the greatest sacrifice of life that caused us to have freedom from sin when we didn't deserve a second chance. So I cling to the cross every day of my life because it's what's given me another opportunity. It gives me my hope. And most of all, it helps me to know right from wrong and the difference. And you know what? I'm not going to live my life like a fool. I'm tired of being a fool. I want to be respected. I want to be revered. I want people to see God so much in me that they almost be afraid to be around me. I want them to see something good in my life that it'll cause them to think about what they're doing in theirs. And you can do that, but you got to be in a spiritual place. We're spiritually famished. We're waiting too long in between spiritual meals, and we're falling away to nothing. And though we look well-rounded in the flesh tonight, we're starving. And we're like children pushing away. Only want the milk. Only want to hear that God loves us. Only want to hear that He is good. Only want to hear that He'll help you. But I'm here to tell you, He'll reprove you too if you'll let Him. And He'll make you to be a better person. And He can even cause your enemies to stop hating on you. I'm here to tell the haters tonight, they're not even in here with me tonight, but I'm here telling the haters that I will get fruit and it will be enough to overcome. Maybe nobody else has any haters in their life. I don't know. Am I the only one in the house of God? We all have adversaries. We all have afflictions. We all have things that really try to battle us. I was just on the phone with a lady earlier today talking about the struggles of disease that she's going through, and I told her, I was like, sometimes it's not glamorous, sometimes it's not easy, but you got to keep trying. You've got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you've got to give God a chance and show Him by faith that you believe in Him. In church, we may see the same old faces every week and feel like we don't need to dance and have a good time again, and we want to wait and just to put on a show when people we don't know shows up. But it's not about putting on a show. It's about encouraging each other in a time of pain to remind each other that though we all have good and bad in our life, though we all have struggles and victories in our life, that we all serve the same God who helps us to know the difference. Yeah.